title of my thoughts are on this symposium portion is The Kingdom of This World. So today we would like to look into this topic of the kingdoms of this world, and just to bring together some thoughts and scriptures to help us recall and explore further this subject that was written on so long ago. The term, the kingdom of this world, is a reference to all the other kingdoms that have been and are in power prior to the re-establishment of God's kingdom. We note the similar terminology is found in the book of Revelation, and if we want to refer to chapter 11 and verse 15, Revelations chapter 11 and verse 15. And then the seventh angel sounded, saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." The divine message refers to the transfer of kingdoms, a most accomplishing change. The word in Revelation 11:15, became, is the Greek word genomia. Genomia is very interesting and gives various meanings that helps us to see the kingdoms of this world shall be or are to become the kingdoms of our Lord. In Strong's, it lists genomia as a prolonged and middle form of a primary verb. And these are the words that Strong's gives it: to cause to be, to generate, that is, reflexively, to become or come into being. It's used with great latitude, literally, figuratively, and intensively. Arise, be assembled, to befall, to be brought to pass, to become, to be done, to draw. All these many words for this one word. To be finished, to be fulfilled, as well as God forbid, to happen, to be kept, to be made, be ordained, to be performed, to require, to be shown, to be taken, be turned, used, wax, will, would, be wrought. What an extensive word used in our scriptures. So we may ask, what are these kingdoms? Where is their influence from? Who is behind their leadership? And does God have a purpose in them? Firstly, in the beginning, prior to the fall, we see that our first parents, Adam and Eve, were in the perfect condition in Eden. In a way, the genesis of creation was a micro vision of God's kingdom. As seen, there was a king and his dominion. And God created man in his own image and instructed man and blessed them, man and woman. And they were to fill the earth and subdue it. And Genesis 1 and verse 33 says, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And sadly, the disobedience led to the long period of time of sin and death. Right down to this day, the psalmist puts man's position in context with his creator. In Psalm 8 and verse 3-7, it reads, "And when I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and have crowned him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." Yes, our loving Creator has permitted mankind to experience a glimpse of his purpose. For God's purpose also can be noted that he dealt with the families of the earth, most directly with the people of faith, under Abraham and his descendants, becoming the nation of Israel, as was just presented. God's instruction went unto Moses and the judges. And we know, however, that the kingdom of Israel under David and Solomon had periods of divine rule and authority, while other times when Israel transgressed against God, they displeased the Lord God, and eventually the kingdom was overthrown. And simultaneously, during these many centuries and millennia, there has been another kingdom, king and dominion at work in this world. And this present evil world, was usurped by the great adversary, the devil. Our Lord Jesus refers to this in John 12:31-32, speaking of the manifestation of his glory that would take place in due time. Verse 31 reads, "And now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." We also see a further scripture in Ephesians 2:1-2, showing the condition of the fall and the leadership of the course of this worldly spirit. Ephesians 2:1-2. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." Satan's princely or authorizing nature has ill-directed so many since the creation, and including the flood of Noah's day, the times of Babel, the forming of the nations, and so through some 6,000 years of history of mankind, families, tribes, nations, empires, and vast kingdoms, the attributes of man have primarily been godless. We see in Noah's day that the corruption of mankind was drastic in Genesis 6:5-6. And thus the Lord said that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and was grieved in his heart. The post-flood times saw the Lord scatter the people abroad from Babel, and they were scattered to be all over the faces of the whole earth. The Lord purposely confused the language so that they would disperse, and today we see the extent of the multiple nations and peoples and languages and tongues. We are given a helpful instruction in Psalm 75:7. "But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another." And in Psalm 76:10, "For the wrath of man shall praise you. With a remnant of wrath you will gird yourself." The timeline of the human governments is given to us in a number of scriptures, but perhaps no more significant than the prophet Daniel's interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The scriptures confirm and foretell the kingdoms of this world, its greatest world powers and empires. We can read the entire chapter 2 of Daniel, but perhaps in your own time. As this permits now, we will briefly look at the importance of Daniel 2:31, as the mystery was revealed unto Daniel. Daniel 2:31. "And you, O king, were looking, and behold, there was a single great statue, that statue which was large and of extraordinary splendor, and was standing in front of you, and its appearance was awesome. The head of that statue was made of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. And you continued looking until that stone has cut out without hands and has struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them." So we see that the head of gold represented Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, and this was succumbed to the Medo-Persian Empire. The breast and arms of silver, the Grecian Empire, was then the next universal empire. That was the belly and the thighs of silver. And then we have the devouring Roman Empire, figured in the legs of iron and its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. We can learn more of its characteristics in Daniel 7:18. We are told that the toes of the feet are the mix of iron and clay, causing a brittle part. We see that the church and state system within the Roman Empire would become a state of confusion, referred to as Babylon, in Revelation 17:18. Again, time doesn't permit for us to cover this. However, I'd like to look at Revelation 17:17. It tells us of the leading up to the eventual overthrow of this beastly system of Satan. In verse 17, it reads, "For God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose, having a common purpose, and by giving their kingdom to the beasts, until the words of God be fulfilled." God's prophecies will be fulfilled. And 2 Thessalonians 3 and 8 explains, and reading this from the Diaglot version, "And then will be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth of himself, and he will make powerless, and will make powerless by the appearing of the presence of himself." And some versions say, "by the brightness of his presence." This takes us back to Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44 and verse 45. "In the day of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountains without hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future. And so the dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Yes, the kingdoms of this world are transitory and to be destroyed. History and prophecy proves us the systems will melt, and the prince of the power of the air will be ruler no more. But the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ, will establish an everlasting kingdom." Our Lord Jesus expresses the attitude and faith that we should have when he, as he answered Pilate in John 18 and verse 36. John 18, 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I would be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." And yet, the scriptures do instruct us to submit to authorities and to submit to the laws and ethoses, such as paying taxes, while showing honour and respect for those in position. We can see a lot of those thoughts in Romans chapter 13. And in saying this, we are to remain watchful and prayerful, to witness to and love the truth, remaining as ambassadors for Christ while placed in this world. We see much change and decay in the world today, dear brethren. Before our very eyes, the nations are in distress, not knowing what is happening, not knowing a way out. We see with our eyes of faith the wonderful prospect beyond the kingdoms of this world, when the wind carried them away so not a trace of them was found. And as Revelation 11:15 will be fully realized, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. I would like to close with reading Psalm 86 and verse 9. And it reads from the New King James, "All nations whom thou have made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name." Amen.